You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
God wants you to live a life that is victorious. And throughout the book of Joshua, we have the record of how God gave to his people the victory over their enemies. The history of Israel is typical history. Paul said in Corinthians that these things all happened to them as examples for us, that we might learn the principles by which God works in the lives of his people. Their deliverance out of the bondage of Egypt is a type of our deliverance out of the bondage of sin. Their passing through the Red Sea is a type of our water baptism. Their experiences in the wilderness is a type of our trying to please God in our flesh and with our flesh. Their passing over the Jordan River is a type of our finally reckoning our old man to be dead, that we should no longer live after the flesh, but begin to live after the Spirit. As they began to conquer the land, it is a type of our conquering over those strongholds of our flesh, the flesh life, our beginning to get victory over our old nature. And so as they conquer, we learn the principles by which they conquered, and thus we learn the principles by which we also can experience God's victory in those areas of our life where the flesh has such strongholds. An important thing to note, that while they were in the wilderness and experiencing failure and experiencing defeat, they were still the children of God. I make special note of that because Satan so often takes advantage of our weaknesses. And he comes to us at a time of failure and he points an accusing finger and says, "How can you say you're born again? How can you say you're a child of God? Look at the way you've messed up again. Look at what a failure you are." And he uses that to bring us into condemnation, to drive us away from our Lord. They were still God's children, though they failed. You're still God's child, though you fail. But God wants to help you. God wants to bring you victory in those areas where you have experienced failure because of the weakness of your flesh. And God wants you to be more than a conqueror through the power of his Spirit working in your life. The principles of victory are found right here in chapter 6. First of all, verse 2. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand." Joshua, it's done. I've done it. The Lord is speaking here in past tense, not "I'm going to give Jericho." Joshua, "I have given you Jericho." You have to realize that your victory is already a finished work of Jesus Christ. All you have to do is step in and claim it. The Lord has already provided you with victory. He has gone before you. He has fought the battle. And you can have and should know complete victory. It isn't a thing where the outcome of the battle is still pending or still in question. I have given you Jericho. Look, Joshua, they're all shut up. It's already yours. You know, I've given it to you. And realize that the Lord has provided all that we need in order to have complete and total victory over any and every area of our flesh life. We so often are still trying to strategize the battle. We say, well, I've learned I just have to count 10 before I react. And we're trying to figure out how we can keep from reacting in such a irrational way. And some people do have that problem. They're prone to just lose their tempers and say all kinds of horrible, ugly things. And they realize that that's a very ugly trait. They hate themselves for doing it. And yet, when the right provocation comes, there is the explosion. The whole thing blows up. And they're trying to deal with it. And we're still trying to figure out just how I can keep from blowing up like that. If I just count 10. But you know, sometimes we count 10 pretty fast. And at times we start counting by 10. And we realize that steam that is inside is going to be vented someplace, somehow. I can't hold it forever. There's got to be a better way. And of course, God has a better way. The better way is not generating the steam inside. And you know, it's a glorious thing when God begins to work in these areas. Because you're almost like a third party watching God do his work. You know, you think, is that me? How come I'm not exploding? Boy, I can remember what I used to do in a situation like this. Is this really me? I feel so calm. I'm not all shook. What's happening to me? And you see God working, and it's like you don't even, well, you can't even believe it's you as you see what God is doing. And it gets exciting as you see God working in your life, doing for you what you could not do for yourself. God's work, his battle. I have given it to you, he said. Now, the second principle is to follow God's plan for victory, even though I don't understand it. God had a very interesting way of conquering Jericho. I'm certain as Joshua called his generals together to explain the battle strategy, that they began to have second thoughts about their allegiance to follow this guy. Sounds like a rather weird plan. He wasn't talking about battering rams. He didn't say anything about scaling ladders. Nor did he talk about catapults. He said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to send a bunch of priests out there with ram's horns. And they'll be followed by other priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And they'll be followed by the army. And they'll walk around the city of Jericho blowing on the ram's horns. The men marching in battle are not to say a word. And for 6 days, once a day, they're to march around the wall. And on the seventh day, they're to march around the wall 7 times. And then the priests are to give a long blast on their horns. And as they do, the people are to shout with a great shout. And the walls will fall. And every man will attack from the position where he is around the city. Straight in. And I imagine that those fellows thought, wait a minute, Joshua. You don't bring down walls with ram's horns. What's going on here? God's way seemed a little peculiar, perhaps. And you may even be reluctant to try it. You see, if you have a violent temper, if you're prone to say horrible, ugly things when you're upset, maybe it is your child that has provoked you. And maybe you've just screamed at your child and said all kinds of things that you really didn't mean. Maybe you said, I hate you. I wish you had never been born. And you just railed on him. And afterwards, you're feeling so miserable. You're feeling so guilty. You're feeling so ugly and so horrible. Maybe the Lord is saying to you, call your child in and apologize to your child for all of those things you said. And ask them to pray that God will give you victory over that horrible temper. Oh, Lord, I can't ask my child to pray for me for something like that. And you may be arguing, you see, with the command of God. It doesn't make sense to me. How can I get rid of my temper by my child praying for me? But maybe that's what God is saying. Maybe the very person you railed on is the one that God wants you to ask to pray for you. God has different ways of working. I'm not suggesting that this is the way, but God has, be open, be sensitive. And obey the impressions of God upon your heart. The third principle is that after the seventh time on the seventh day, the people were to shout with a great shout. This was the shout of victory. Now note, the walls were still standing when they shouted. So it was the shout of faith in anticipation of what God was going to do. We have God's promise. We have God's word that he's going to work. He's going to bring the walls down. And so it was a shout of victory in anticipation of God's work. You need to begin to praise God in anticipation of the work he's going to do in your life. Praise him for his promises. Praise him for his word that promises you a change and a victory. You see, so often we just submit and we just say, well, I can't do anything about it. That's just me. And we live in defeat. And we expect to just go on this way forever. No, it doesn't have to go on forever. Yes, God can change it. Yes, God has promised to change it. And God will change it. And begin to thank God for the changes, even though the walls may still be standing. Take a position of faith. Lord, you have promised to deliver me. You've promised to help me. You've promised to give me victory. And Lord, I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for your promises, for I shall conquer. And we begin to thank God on the basis of the promise of his word for victory. The next key is patience. Notice the walls didn't fall the first day or the second day or the third, fourth, or fifth, or sixth. The walls didn't fall the first time around on the seventh day. God was stretching this thing out. Oh, how I wish he wouldn't do that. How I would like victory instantly. How I would like instant cures to my problems. But they had to wait for God to work. And this is many times where we're prone to give up. We've been around the wall and we say, oh, I did that, man, and it just didn't work. I marched around that once. Nothing happened. And so we're prone to conclude nothing is going to happen because I did that, I tried that, nothing happened, so. But God had to march around that wall a total of 13 times before the walls fell. Patience. Waiting upon God's perfect timing. But the exciting thing is that this may be that time that God is going to work. Yes, you may have done it before, and you've fallen right back into the same old stuff. And you may have despaired of ever changing or ever being any different. But this could be the time once more, God says. Patience, waiting for God to work. And then the next principle. God said, now look, when you take the city, don't touch the spoil. That's mine. Recognizing I'm the one that gave you the victory. I want the full credit. And thus the spoils of Jericho come to me. Don't touch the accursed thing. Don't lay your hand on the glory. Don't lay your hand upon the spoils. Bring them to me. I get all of the gold, the silver, the brass, and the iron. Everything else is to be burned utterly. Bring those things to me and bring them to the priest that they might go into the house of God. When God begins to work in your life, make sure that you give God the glory and the credit. Herein is where we so often fail. We so often want to take credit for what God has done. And that is why God so often allows us to come to the absolute end of ourselves before He works. He so often allows us to come to that point of admission, God, I can't do it, before He'll step in. He knows that if He steps in prematurely and gives me the victory, that I'll go around saying, well, I knew I could do it all the time, you know, just finally set my mind to it. I knew I could do it all the time, you know. And I would be taking credit and taking glory. You know, whenever I have a friend that has lost a noticeable amount of weight, I notice those things. And I usually say to them, my, you've really lost some weight, haven't you? How did you do it? And you know what my phony friends tell me? Well, I just decided that I had had it, that I was just going to quit eating so much. I was just going to watch what I ate, and I was going to count calories, and I just set my mind to it, and I just quit eating so much. Ooh, that's wonderful. I admire someone with that much, you know, self-discipline and all. That's marvelous. And then what do I find out? I find out they're going to doctors and getting shots every day and taking all kinds of pills and a bunch of phony hype, you know. I just set my mind. Baloney. But you see, we like to take credit for things. I like people to think I'm better than I really am. I'm stronger than I really am. I like people to look up to me and admire me. But that's a part of that ugly flesh that God wants to help me to get rid of. And so God allows me that desperation of spirit to get to that place where I say, oh God, I just can't. Lord, I'm a miserable wretch. Lord, there's nothing I can do. Lord, help me. And when I've come really to the end is the time when God helps. Now, when God brings me to that point of despair, that is the critical point every time in the battle. That is the point of crisis in the battle. When I've come to the place of realizing I can't do it. And I give up hope of doing it myself. That is the most critical point of the battle always, because at that point, one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to conclude, because I can't do it, it can't be done, and you're going to lapse into defeat. You're going to say, well, this is just me, just my nature. I'm going to have to learn to live with it, and you're going to have to learn with it. I can't change. And you're going to make a treaty, and you're going to live in defeat. Or when you get to that point of despair and you realize, I can't do it. There's no way. God, help me. Do for me what I can't do for myself. And if you will turn to God in that moment, you will find the secret of victory. Because then God will do for you what you can't do for yourself. And the end result is that when credit is given for what has happened, the credit goes to God. You don't take the glory. You don't take the applause. You don't stand out and receive the accolades of man, but you say, oh, to God be the glory. He did such a marvelous work. You can't believe what God did for me. Boy, you don't know how I wrestled with that thing and how it defeated me and how I failed. And there was just nothing I could do. I was at the end. I was just desperate. I had come to just the total end. But then God stepped in and, oh, he's done such a wonderful thing. And you're just going to be praising God and giving God the credit and the glory all the way along, so people will know, yes, God can help even when we are helped. God can help even when we have come to that hopeless state. Now, God wants you to have the victory today. God doesn't want you to go on in defeat. God doesn't want you going on being mastered by your flesh and by those strongholds of the self-life or that egocentric life. He wants you to live a Christ-centered life. Christocentric. But changes have to be made. Changes that you can't make yourself, but changes that will be made as you turn it over to God and seek his help. He will give you the victory. And you'll watch God work and you'll rejoice in what God has done. I have found in my own life that many times when God has worked, I didn't realize it immediately. Sometimes it was months before I realized that God had delivered me. And then a situation arose. One of those classic situations where in times past I would have hit the ceiling. I would have been in a rage. And nothing was happening. I was still there smiling. I said, well, how about that? Interesting, isn't it? And then suddenly I realized, hey, wait a minute, that's me. What's happening here? I'm not all tense and shook. I'm not steaming. What's happening? And I realized, hey, wait a minute, I haven't steamed for a long time. God's taken the steam out. All right, God. Thank you, Lord. And you realize God has wrought his victory in your life. And all you can do is thank God for it. A retired Navy man had accepted the Lord here. When he accepted Christ, before he had accepted Christ, being in the Navy so many years, his vocabulary reflected the Navy life. About 6 months after walking with the Lord, just excited about the work of God's Spirit within his life, He was mowing his back lawn, singing some of the praise choruses as he was mowing the lawn, just so thankful for what God had done in his life. And he wasn't paying close attention, and he went under a tree, and the thing hit him right across the forehead, knocked him over on his back. And as he lay there on the ground, head throbbing, he got all excited. And he ran into the house and he said, "Honey, honey, guess what happened?" And she looked at this big red mark across his forehead and she said, "What happened?" And he said, "Oh," he said, "that's nothing." He said, "I hit a tree," but he said, "Honey, I didn't cuss." And she said, "Sweetheart, I haven't heard you cuss for 6 months." He said, "You haven't?" And he realized that it was a part of the old life that God had just removed. God's victory. God's work. And God wants to work in your life. And those areas of the flesh that still keep you in bondage, that still bring you misery, God wants to free you. God has provided the victory. It's yours for the taking, for the claiming. Step in. Take it. Begin to thank God that He has brought you victory in that area. And wait upon God for that complete work of His Spirit as He sets you free. And as soon as He does, then we head for the next city and the next battle and the next victory that we are to know. But be careful. The time of victory is one of the most dangerous times of all. So it was with the children of Israel. Flush from the victory of Jericho, they ran into a big problem. And they were defeated. And we'll find the reasons for their defeat in part 2 of the message. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for the glorious victory that we can experience through the power of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you have set us free from our past sins. And now, Lord, we desire to be set free from the power of the self-life. Lord, we want to see the strongholds of self falling before the power of your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to learn and to know we can't do it ourselves. It takes, Lord, your work. But Lord, work in us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I realize that this morning some of you are at that critical point of the battle. You're ready to give up. You thought you had it whipped, and here it was again this week, and it's still there, just as ugly and miserable as ever. And you've tried so hard, but it hasn't happened, and you finally realize it's not going to happen if you have anything to do with it, because you can't do it. Good. You're in the greatest position of all. Don't give up. Turn it over to God completely at this point. At this point, discover now His power and His victory. You're right at the point of victory. You're right at the point of seeing now God's work. Don't quit. Once more around the wall. Once more, and we'll blow the trumpets. and will see the mighty victory of God as the walls come down. This could be that glorious day that God delivers you from this area of domination by your flesh. If you need some help, feel you need some help, I encourage you to go back to the prayer room where the pastors will be waiting to pray with you that you might experience God's victory in your life and go out more than a conqueror through his love and through his victory. His victory.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Chuck Smith. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Chuck's teaching ministry by visiting pastorchuck.org.